Amen. Hallelujah. Well, congratulations to all, everybody who was water baptized. Woo!
Good job.
We are so proud of them. Yes. And it is awesome. So congratulations on the folks who were water baptized. That is awesome. And Adrian, we can't let the ladies show us up, guys. We got to have a men's breakfast here soon. Wanting to schedule one, and it's so funny because last time we had a men's breakfast, we were there we were at the machine shed. And I said, "You guys want to eat anywhere else?" It's like, "No." You know, we all like to have the machine shed there, and it's like, you know, I mean, the bacon's the size of a 2x4, so why would you go anywhere else, right? I mean. Hallelujah. We're in the land of Canaan here. So, you know, why would we go anywhere else? So, you know, we'll try to have it in the machine shed again. My plate runneth over. So, hallelujah. And again, and as many times as you care to go back. So, So we want to make sure that you wear your stretchy pants, you know, your eating pants, your Thanksgiving pants on men's. I'm kidding. But it is good. We have a good time fellowship. It's good just to get together with the men. I know after COVID, things got weird. And so I'd like to have something maybe once a quarter. We can kind of get back together, the men, and just hang out, have some breakfast, and just fellowship, and just, you know, just relax and kind of get away from everything. So that's good. We need fellowship with one another, don't we? It's very good, very healthy. Ladies need to have fellowship. And also, too, the teens, you know, it's good to have fellowship. It's very encouraging, too, because, you know, we live kind of in a dark world, everything around us, and it's good to have, especially teenagers, to know that there's other teens that love God. Yeah. And, you know, and it's also good to know there's other ladies in the same boat with you that want the same, and the same with us men, you know, that there are men out there that want to have godly households, raise their children godly, and be a good example. So, amen. So I'll let you know. We're going to try to find a date here soon. And, you know, so we will not proclaim a fast on that day. Amen. And we just declare that all the food is fat-free in the name of Jesus. And we won't pay attention to the gluttony scriptures, will we? We'll just go ahead and hallelujah. We are. It's for hibernation, okay? So, you know, that's right. We're going to. I'm kidding. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. In the Amplified, we're going to read out of that one today. Okay, all right, we got a little time, so we'll read the Amplified, the ladies' version. So, hallelujah. Tonight I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and ever-present source of power. You know, too many times we're not aware of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, there's a lot of people that think the Holy Spirit is like Casper the Friendly Ghost or some creepy thing, but, you know, the Holy Spirit is very powerful. And he loves us. Jesus declares, he goes through that litmus test. He describes the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, doesn't he? He's our guide, our advocate, our intercessor. He's our comforter. He's there in every present time of need. He's very faithful. we see that the fruits of the Spirit are in Galatians, the 5th chapter, right? Love, joy, patience, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, patience. And against there's no such law. Basically, there's no restrictions on, you know, oh, you're loving me too much, right? Oh, you're too kind. Oh, you're there's no law against that. But I want to point out three things tonight. We're not going to go very extremely long tonight, but I want to talk about the New Testament. And actually, the Bible talks about three relationships that God sustains towards mankind. Three of them. Two of them are in the Old Testament, and then the third one that God adds in the New Testament. One of them is God sustains. God is number one for us. How many times do you feel like in life, where is God? Is God for me? I'm going to tell you what. Number one, God, if you look in the Bible, in the Old Testament, anytime God manifests himself with us or the Israelites or anything, there is guaranteed success. Find one time in the Bible where God was with somebody, God was with his people, and they failed. You can't find it, can you? So number one,
the presence of the Lord, he is, we as believers, number one, he is with us. And we see when he is with us, there is success. There is victory. Romans 8, while you're just stay there at 1 Corinthians, but Romans 8, 31 says, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? Basically, the enemy doesn't matter at this point, right? Now, it doesn't mean we're taking swords out or we get guns out and we're fighting this and that, but what it means is, how about the enemy of depression? Right? It's an enemy. How about that enemy of discouragement, right? If God's for us, if God's with us, first of all, or we could say, God is for us, then it guarantees success, doesn't it? If we don't, we can become utterly, if with him with us or for us, we become utterly fearless in life, don't we? The second one is God is with us. So number one, God is for us. So when God is for us, we're victorious. Number two, if he's with us. So it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. If the Lord is with us, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We can have the word. So again, the knowledge of the word of God along with this understanding causes our heart to be centered, doesn't it? If we have a revelation of that. And then there's one more, so we can have faith that know that God is with us. So if we know that he's with us, first of all, he's for us. If we say that God is for us, then what that says is we know his will, right? We know that he is wanting us to win if he's for us, right? How many of you like sports in here? Right? Okay. So when the Orioles are beating up on Adrian's Red Sox, I am for the Orioles, and Adrian is for the Red Sox, okay? Sometimes it gets, yeah, but anyway. So what it means is you're rooting for, you're in favor of, you are, you're behind something, whether it's your team, whether it's, you know, like the Hawkeyes, they barely made it out 40 to nothing today, so, whew, boy. But I was for the Hawkeyes, right? We got some people in here. I mean, the Cyclones are playing today. We're for the Cyclones too. So, you know, we want both teams to win, the Iowa teams. But the point is, if God's for you, that means what? His desire, he's pulling for you, right? He wants you to be victorious. His will is he's for you. If he's with us, that means no matter where you're at, he's there, right? And we're going to look at some scriptures here. And the very last one is very new to the New Testament. It is God in us. So if we see the three things of God, two are in the Old Testament, and then the third one was added into the New Testament. See, God did not live in man in the Old Testament. He lived in the Holy of Holies. And then the priest would go in there, and he had to have his act together. If he didn't, he'd have a rope pulled, and they'd just pull him out by the leg, right? So God lived in a dwelling, and he lived right. He manifests on top of the Ark of the Covenant, which was inside the Holy of Holies. And within that, there were certain things within the Ark of the Covenant. Now, since Jesus came, he now lives in us. He doesn't live in on top of a golden box anymore. His presence. You ever seen the movie Raiders Lost Ark, where, you know, Indiana Jones is out there and he's getting the Ark of the Covenant? Well, there's two cherubs on top of the Ark of the Covenant with their wings, and that's where what we call the Holy of Holies, or the mercy seat. Well, that was a typology of in heaven. God is on the mercy seat in heaven. Everything we see here on earth God has, throughout the Old Testament, everything designed of a direct replica of what is in heaven. So we see here that God is in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple? his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you. Everybody say, God dwells in me. To be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually. Did you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That kind of make you think about some things about it moving forward, right? Afterwards, I get hungry. You know, last night we were sitting on the bed, you know, and I woke up and I was sitting there after, you know, have you ever eat something, you get convicted, like after it, you know, you're like, why did I eat that? You know? And we got those little dinky Doritos. I'm a horrible sucker. I'm a horrible sucker for like Doritos and like the Doritos and the salsa thing, because I'm like really spicy, hot, you know, I like that kind of stuff. And so you get the cheesy Doritos. I better shut up. I'm getting hungry already. But I'm eating those cheese, and I'm sitting there, and I'm on the bed watching TV or something, and I ate like four of those little bags, and I'm like,
"That's just how
it went." Whoa, wait a minute here. Whoa, 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 whoa. But I didn't mean to expose my sin to everybody. But the point is that, you know, I'm eating those things, and then I feel back, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost here. I'm eating a lot of junk food. You know, I don't try not to eat a lot of sugar and stuff like that. But you know, we all have. What's the Bible talk about? We're all enticed by our own lusts. My lust is like Doritos and hot stuff. I'm like, right? And I was like, yeah. So, yeah, I kind of wake up and I have all this cheesy stuff all over my face and salsa everywhere. And I'm like, what happened? Help me, Jesus. But I have to kind of examine sometimes, because I'll kind of eat something or do something. And you know, you're like, hey, wait a minute. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost here, right? And so we kind of need to realize sometimes that what we do, what we say, how we act, what we put under our body, you know, we're just leasing our body right now, you know? I mean, to an extent, we don't really own our own body. It belongs to the Lord, doesn't it? Why? And he lives in it. And we see there in the Gospels and other places that Jesus said, hey, we're going to live and have and move our being in you. And so when Jesus says not just that he's in us, but he's actually camped out and he's living inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, so turn a few pages over, a few chapters over. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Amplified says, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, who lives, what? Within you, whom you have received as the gift from God. You are not your own. What does the devil try to do all the time, right? You know, everybody says, well, it's my body, my choice, my decision. Oh, that's really nice. That's really, see, the devil's all about selfishness. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about my decision and everything. Yeah, we all have these choices. We all have decisions to make. But the Bible teaches that we are not our own, but we're actually belong to God. And why is that important? Because, you know, when we're born again, our spirit man's made new, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and God doesn't want to live in something dirty. He wants to live in something new and recreated. That's why when we're born again, our nature's changed, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? And because he cleans us up, he wants to live in us. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Let's take 2 Corinthians 6:16 tonight. So again, reminder, number one, God is for us. That means his will is for us to succeed. Number two, he's with us. That means no matter where we go, he is with us. And number three, if we're born again, he lives in us. He lives in us. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says this, and the Amplified, what agreement can there be between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them, or I will dwell in and with and among them, and will walk in and with and among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Interesting here enough that the Apostle Paul is telling the people at Corinth, his second letter to the people in Corinth, he says, he not only says in, but I like this. He says, for we are the temple of the living God, and I will dwell in, number one. Number two, with. Number three, among, and in, and among them. So he's also referring to, he's referring to individually and also collectively. Interesting, huh? So when we're around other believers, what is he doing? He's in and among us, right? That's why the Bible talks about if two or more are gathered in my name, what? I'm in the midst of them. And that's why it's, you know, that's why a lot of Christians say, well, I don't need church, I don't need these things. I'm sorry, but, you know, Jesus was always fellowshipping with people and other people who were like-minded. And the Bible is very specific, and this scripture talks about, now the Spirit, I love this, it goes, again, he said, in and with us and among us, and he'd walk in amongst us and among them. So not only individually, but also too and around other believers, he's also manifesting around us and among us and in the midst of us. So God is, of course, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. But that's so encouraging to know that not only myself individually, that he is with me, for me, and in me, but also as we get around other believers, not only is he in and with and for you, but he's also, when we get together, we are, there's even more manifestation together, right? And in the Old Testament, it's called his glory. A lot of it's referred to as glory. That means that he'll manifest. That's why the Bible talks about God inhabits the prayers of his people, right? And so there's different things. We live in us and among us, but then also we get a corporate setting too. God will manifest often among us. Of course he's living in us, and of course he's, you know, for us and everything. But there's another dynamic of active believers getting together, that there's another dynamic that Paul here talks about, that there's additional manifestations because God, I mean, I can't wait. I mean, well, not tonight. I don't want to go to hell unless rapture happens tonight. But and that's okay with me. I mean, if the God wants to take the rapture, that's fine, you know. But heaven's going to be such an awesome place because not only the glory of God be in us, but there's an interconnected, just the Spirit of God that's going to connect us all together. And that's why the Apostle Paul, we see there in Ephesians and other places that he likens our connectivity is that Christ is the head and we're all the body, right? Because again, especially in America, we're all individualistic a lot. You know, we're not you look at other countries and there's often a different mindset. But, you know, in the body of Christ, we're all connected as one. That's why Jesus was got on Saul before he became Paul. And he says, Saul, Saul, why have you persecuted me? Well, Saul didn't go and persecute Jesus. But since Paul was Saul, at that time, when he was on his road to Damascus, he was persecuting Christians, which Jesus took it personally. And so we see here the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians is saying, not only are we seeing that God is in us and among us, but when we're together, he's amongst us collectively. And there's a power there in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. While you're turning there, Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him that what? Believe. First John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because of your own will, because of how special you are. No, it's because of what? It's because greater is he that's among you, with you. No, in you than he that is what? In the world. Interesting enough, like I said, in the Old Testament, God was with his people, and God was for his people, but in the New Testament, now God is in his people, which is vastly different. So like last night, we're going places, and I'm talking with people, and we're doing different things, and the Holy Spirit in me is leading me to people, right? Because to me, logically, it just doesn't make sense. Like last night, I saw this lady. She was in a little scooter wheelchair and everything. And I think I passed her four times. And finally, I'm like, something just drew me to her. And then I ended up talking with her. And there was this, it was pretty incredible. But my gray matter was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. But guess what? God in me was saying, no, you need to go over there, right? Because my gray matter's, my brain is not, but the God in me is saying something different. He's pulling me in a different direction. Why? That's something that, again, Old Testament believers did not have. They did not have the Spirit in us, in them, leading and guiding them like we do. You know, it's really interesting here enough, too, that going back to, we'll close here in a minute, but I want to read a few other scriptures. But going back to, Josephus was a Jewish historian, and one of the interesting things was, go back to God dwelling in the Old Testament, it was in the tabernacle, which was basically a glorified tent, which the Ark of the Covenant, and then later, after David's son built the temple eventually, Solomon, that's where God dwelt. But this is interesting about Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that the curtain was 40 feet high across, and 20 feet high and 4 inches thick. So that was the curtain that was where the Holy of Holies was at. After that, beyond that curtain was where we call the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant, like I just mentioned earlier, and the presence of God would manifest. So can you imagine a curtain that was 40 feet across, 20 feet high, and 4 inches thick? When Christ died on the cross, that thing was ripped in half from top to bottom. 20 feet high. All of a sudden, bam. Why? Because it was a symbol of, okay, I'm not living in a building anymore. I'm not living on top of the Ark of the Covenant anymore. I'm living in you. Think about that. No other religion, God, or anything else ever comes, never even, again, you're working your way in other religions to make yourself good, to make yourself, it's all works, but God said, now, you know what? I'm going to eliminate all this stuff. I'm not going to help you, but guess what? I'm going to come and live in you. My presence is going to be in you, and I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you, no matter where you go. You may not feel like it some days, and I'm pretty sure Jesus, when he walked the earth, he experienced discouragement, especially on the cross, and the only one there was John and both Marys. That was discouraging, right? Everybody else left. You got Peter, who's, I'm never going to do anything, Jesus. And then what happened? He, denied Jesus three times. You got all these other people. You got Judas who sells his soul out for, 30 pieces of silver. And then what happened? There's plenty of opportunity for discouragement. But then the rest is history, right? We see people that they knew the truth, and because God lived in them and changed them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, they gladly sacrificed their life because of this God living in them. I mean, to me, that's fascinating, just being during that time period. When you lived your whole life, nobody has ever been born again ever, and everybody's spiritually dead, and you've never experienced anything like this, and all of a sudden, boom, the Messiah shows up. He has sacrificed for our sins, and now we step over from death into spiritual life. That's amazing. That in itself is very, very fascinating. John chapter 14, verse 16. I'm going to read some of these here. Again, it says, and Jesus speaking, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and he will abide with you, what? Forever. And he shall, later he says, what? He shall be in you. If I read that for Amplified, it says this, verse 16, John 14, 16 and 17, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. And what? He will remain with you forever. Okay, that's great. He's with us. Then he goes on in verse 17, it says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome or take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him. Here we go. For he lives with you constantly and will be, here's again, never heard before until the New Testament, in you. In you. In you. I don't know what it is. Sometimes it seems like a lot of churches and a lot of folks there, you know, God's out here somewhere. And of course, he's, you know, it's manifest in heaven. We know that according to the Bible, he's on the mercy seat. He's on his throne. And Jesus is the right hand of the Father. And the Holy Spirit during this dispensation is taking over Jesus' ministry and continuing his ministry here on the earth. We know that. But yes, we understand that. But for some reason, it's hard for people to get to understand that God is in us. His presence lives in us when we're born again. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, all things become new or known. What? A new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things, what? Become new. And then there's an evidence of that. And we'll talk more about this next week. But there's an evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling. Acts 10, 44 through 46. Let's turn there real quick. And we'll close here. So again, God is for us. That means his will. He is rooting for us. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to succeed. He wants good things for us. He is for us. He is for our success. Number two, God is with us. Whenever he shows up in the Old Testament, anytime he's there, there's automatic victory. God is not a loser. God has never lost anything, ever, ever, ever. Even when it looks like things are lost. When Christ is on the cross and everything looks absolutely like it can't get any better, and the devil's rejoicing, and he thinks that he's won, he has just signed his own death warrant. The devil, the enemy, has just put the noose around his own neck. And we see there in the first couple chapters of, the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul talks about that the wisdom of the foolishness of things in this world is the wisdom of God. God's wisdom seems foolish to mankind. Why in the world would God come down, sacrifice himself, and redeem us, and so that he could live in us? That doesn't... The plan just seemed illogical. Nothing seemed like it was going to work. This is a crazy idea, God. And it all became perfect. And the plan and the concept of love just seems crazy. That's why the Hebrews and the people during Jesus' time was like, let's just band together. Let's just kill off these Romans. Let's just get this all together. Let's get out of here. Let's push these bullies out of here. And Jesus is like, wait a minute. God's plans are so much bigger than this little silly temporary invasion that you're dealing with. God was thinking about eternity. And he was thinking about not just about, oh, but a kingdom that is beyond this world. Life that is beyond just your temporary circumstances. Eternal flame that lives in us. Just that fire of God that is manifest when we are born again. And we gotta fan that flame. We got to fan that flame. You know, I believe that we're not, many of us as believers, that Spirit of God that lives in us. We let things die. You know, Jesus, the Bible talks about, you know, hey, if you're either hot or cold, You know, that's why I always think, you know, you ever go to like one of the coffee places, you never ask for a lukewarm coffee. I'll take lukewarm coffee, please. No. Do you want it?
Hot rice.
Right. You want it hot or cold, right? There's no lukewarm. You're gonna take a There's no lukewarm, right? Like when you order your food, you know, a salad, you want it cold, but your food is like, yeah, I want it lukewarm, you know. Yeah, let's just want to make sure there's plenty of bacteria on it, you know, before I get it, you know, I want to make sure, you know. No, you don't do that at all. And I believe when we are meditating on these things, it stirs up the fire. We were talking about, you know, Chloe was talking about earlier about reading the Bible, and we were talking about reading the Bible and getting it stirs things up. When we were talking about watching videos, and then I was talking with somebody earlier about, you know, watching other videos, and they were just talking about how stirred up they get, you know, when they watch these some of these preaching videos and some of the teaching videos of some of these people like Rick Renner, and we were talking about some other people earlier just about different things. Why? Because when the Word of God, and you talk about the Word of God, it fans that flame inside of you, that life of God that is ignited. That's where Jesus said there, the woman at the well, she says, oh, I want to drink. He said, no, the Word and the Spirit. See, there's something where the Spirit that's in you, when you're born again, we just read there, He lives in us. That Spirit in us is activated by the Word. I know I've read this many times. You look at Genesis chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is not just in you just for you to not just to feel good and get to heaven, but there's something in the Spirit that will be activated, and I believe too many Christians don't activate these things. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. I want to stop here for a moment. The Spirit, that same Spirit that was hovering across the face of the waters, if you're born again, that same Spirit lives in you. There's not different spirits. Like, oh, well, this little spirit over here is this, and this little spirit's over here. It all comes from God. There's no different spirit. I mean, we look at Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. They're all saying and doing the same thing, right? They all have different dispensations or different things in the Bible. We see the Father comes down and does things. We see Jesus is you know, his ministry on the earth during the Gospels. But, you know, Jesus is still having a ministry. The Holy Spirit is just extended Jesus' ministry. They're all three in the same one. It is all the same. So when the same Holy Spirit that is hovering over the face of the waters in Genesis 1:1 is the same Spirit that lives in you and me, and as we just read, among us, it is manifesting when we're together. Right now, the Holy Spirit is manifesting himself among us. We just read in the scripture. Then it says this in verse 3, and God said, let there be light. And what? There was light. What happened? The Holy Spirit was there, that Spirit of God that lives in us. It was activated, and something happened when God's Word was spoken, and it activated something in the spirit realm, and it created things. And that's the same thing within us, guys. That Holy Spirit, it is just like spiritual fire built up on the inside, right? And when the Word is manifest, that's why it's important. That's why it's, you know, we can get one side or the other. We can get all really goofy spiritual, and, you know, we're just going around, you know, I'm just going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to close my eyes and walk across the street. Okay, you're going to get hit. Right? Or some people, I'm going to just pray, and I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm not going to pray for in bed. I'm going to step out and do anything. I'm just going to hide in my room and read the Bible. You got to have a mixture of both, right? You got to be balanced on things. And that's why it's so important is the Word and the Spirit coming together. It's a powerful force. Brother Hagin used to say it all the time. That fire that's in us, we just read here in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, it's going to be released when we add Word to it in action. Put legs to it. When I was younger and I played baseball, we used to call it wheels. Come on, man, get your wheels on. That means move. Do something, right? I believe, and it's scripture, we've seen this too, I believe some of us, and I've been more convicted of it lately on things, But I believe that we're going to see is we dare to step out, access the Spirit, the Spirit of God on the inside of us. I believe we're going to see people make more money like never before. We're going to see healings like never before. We're going to see people getting born again like never before. I think we're going to be stepping into some things like never before. And it's not because of we doing it, but because God, we're just actually beginning to work with Him. Yes. And step out and do things. Mm-hmm. I'm believing for huge things, not because of, well, I'm going to sit here and hope for things, but I want to activate the Spirit of God that's in us for those gifts and callings to come out and to be manifest and Him to work in us and step forward. I'm sure glad Jesus stepped out. Because it says He saw Himself in the Scripture, right? He saw Himself who He was. He saw that He was the Messiah. He tapped into that, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God came upon Him there when His cousin, John the Baptist, baptized Him in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit came. It says He was empowered, Luke chapter 4. He went out in the wilderness to defeat the devil, fasted 40 days, and then, boom, He started His ministry. Why? Because the Word and the Spirit were engaged together. It was activated, and then He stepped out and did it. And Jesus is the ultimate example. So anything Jesus does, I want to do. Well, except for dying on the cross. That's not my job. That's His. I see some people, you know, that try to do that. Now, thanks. Jesus did it. There's only one Jesus. I'm not Him. You're not Him. So, yeah. Let's just do what the Bible teaches and follow Him. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But amen. Father, we thank You so much tonight for these people, Lord Jesus. I thank You that not only You are Lord, You're for us, You're with us, but also the wonderful thing is You're in us tonight, yes. Lord Jesus. And when You're in us, there is peace, there is joy, we're centered. We just can walk in You, walk with You and You in us on a greater level, Lord God. And our eyes can be opened according to Ephesians, the first chapter, Lord. And tonight, I just pray that our eyes are open tonight, that there's a new revelation, a new understanding of the fire that's in us, that God put that fire in us. It's not something that we earned, but Lord, it's something that we received when we accepted You as our Lord and Savior, Lord God. And I just pray tonight that we will step into greater realms of fire in Your realm, Lord God, greater realms of understanding. Lord God, questions answered. Lord Jesus, addictions broken in the name of Jesus. Questions to answers that we've been seeking for years, Lord God. Things are going to happen in the spirit realm because we choose to activate the Spirit with the Word of God and trust and rest in You. And we just thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.